And if you've come back and you haven't been here for a while and I didn't call your name, I'm sorry. I missed you. But we're glad that you're here and we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do today. They told me that we have given out all of the bulletins this morning. In fact, some of you couldn't even get one. Apparently, we gave out so many so early that you couldn't get one. So I'm going to point out a couple of things, whether you got one or not, that we hope that you will take some notice of. Tonight, of course, after the evening service, we'll be having an afterglow, as well as a baby shower for baby Jackson Cofty. He's so excited. He's standing in the back corner there, all eager about his big festival this evening. We'll be doing a diaper and gift card shower specifically for him, so if you can help us with that. Pastor has suggested January is always a good month for soups and chilies and sandwiches, so if you want to bring something along that line tonight, that'd be great. If you don't want to bring that, you want to bring something else, that'd be great too. Just bring enough for yourself and a little extra to share with others, and we'll look forward to a good time of fellowship tonight. You may have noticed that the fellowship hall is set up a little differently today. We've still got all those round tables. We've added some extras. Yesterday, we had about 75, I think, for an inauguration dinner for the new Spanish ministry that's starting down the hill this morning. And so we've just left things that way so you'll be able to just enjoy some closer fellowship around those tables this evening. I think that'll be nice. Today is the last Sunday to sign up for the couples dinner. February 11th, 6 o'clock is when the dinner will be held, and we need to have everybody signed up and your place registered by February 1st. As you may have noticed, we're asking you to pick your menu selection, so we need to know that so we can coordinate those things with the caterer. If you have any questions about the banquet, you can see me. I'll be happy to answer you. You can sign up online, or you can sign up. There is a piece of paper back in the back. You don't have to sign up in both places. Just make sure that you sign up somewhere so we've got things set for you. Not only did we give away all the bulletins this morning, but our nursery is becoming more crowded, and that's a good thing. Amen. That's a good thing. Oh, that's a really good thing. I'm going to keep saying it till you'll agree, so you might as well just agree. But you know what that means? It means we needed more workers before. We really need more workers now. So ladies, if you can help us one service a month, please talk to Lisa Mast and just say, "Here I am." Now, here's what I know about nursery. Only a few people get excited about working in the nursery. You know who you are. And for others, it's just like, oh, somebody's got to do it. Yes, yes. Last night, we heard a message in Spanish that I tried to translate sort of for Pastor and Joy. And it was just a reminder of how we're to serve with love. And we are. And the preacher said, you know, we serve with love even when we don't like it sometimes. And so maybe that's one of those things you say, well, I love the Lord. I love his work. I love these families. I'm not so hot on their kids, but I'll go down there and help if I can. So if you can help us with that, please see Lisa. I know she'd be grateful. And then finally, the back corner table, the giving statements are there. If you made a gift to Bible Baptist Church during the 2022 year, there should be a piece of paper back there with your name on it. So please take a moment and go back and look at that so that we can say we have complied with the Internal Revenue Service's directive to get that to you by the end of January. Thank you.
See this lady right here if you gave and you don't have
one. Oh, but that's not going to happen.
Well, if you would take your hymnals this morning and turn with me to page 115. Page 115, we'll sing Love Lifted Me in your hymnal. Is page 115 this morning. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand with me as we sing unto the Lord this morning, Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving servant. harvest due to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
And then quickly turn over with me to page 119. Not only does the Lord love us, but he is faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful to preserve us and keep us. He's faithful to hold us and to walk with us. And so we'll sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness this morning, page 119.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
I have needed thy hand.
morning. You may be seated.
I think most of you probably saw the note this week that Diane Hudler has been approved by all of her doctors for a liver transplant. Tomorrow she'll be having a test to make sure that everything is well as far as the heart is concerned. She has some aortic stenosis, and they want to make sure that's not going to be a problem. Her cardiologist is optimistic, and so that's extremely good news, particularly as in light of how sick she's been lately. So Wayne and Diane are rejoicing in that, and so let's thank the Lord for answered prayer and continue to pray for Diane. Brenda Smith has asked us to pray for her daughter Michelle and grandson Nick McAndrew. They've both been diagnosed with COVID. Tracy Cornwell is now on her third round of antibiotics since getting whatever this upper respiratory infection that she has since Christmas. And Jeff said she's feeling a little bit better today. He said, but typically she feels better right after she's gotten the antibiotics, and then she sort of slides back into it again. So she's not here this morning, so let's continue to pray for Tracy. Kate Christensen, the missionary wife we've been praying for, who's going through chemo. Jason tells me that she's experiencing some numbness in her arms and legs, and so let's pray for Kate. She's been dealing with a cold. That seems to be getting better, but we want to pray for her and ask the Lord to continue to help and that this treatment will be effective. That reminds us, of course, too, that Daryl Barentine is going to be starting treatment very soon, so let's pray for him as he goes through that process. Rob's cousin, who he mentioned to us some time ago, passed away, and so Rob and his mom are heading to California, I think I heard on Tuesday, and so let's be in prayer for them as they travel, as well as for the family. On Tuesday as well, Christy's going to be having surgery, little Kyler Lopez is going to be having surgery, and so let's lift these to the Lord and remember all of that. Ruth Gray was in an accident, she's here, probably a little sore. But we're grateful that the Lord spared her life. If you saw what the condition of her car was, the Lord was good. James mentioned in our Sunday school class this morning being aware of some times that God just protects us. And sometimes we see it and we know it. And the truth of the matter is we're all here today, which reminds us that he's been protecting us all along, right? And so part of the faithfulness that we just sang about is that kind of faithfulness. So we thank him for that. And Ruth, we're glad you're well. Let's continue to pray for Don Goodman, who spent some time in the ER this week. They found nothing. He's got some sort of chest pain, and so they've referred him to the cardiologist. So let's continue to pray for Don. Linda Lindquist is not here today, so let's continue to ask the Lord to, but she's getting better. So good. She's dealing with some kind of a cough and the same respiratory thing. Remember to pray for Dee and Tina Templeton as well. And Bernice George, we did not meet Bernice. Her husband, Benjamin, was with us late last year, missionary to Argentina. Bernice is about 10 days overdue, expecting their first child, and they have asked us to pray for them. Sharon Scruggs' niece, Rachel Girth, has been at Mayo all this week getting a series of tests done. And as I understand it, they have a plan of treatment for her that they think is going to be positive. It looks like she may have to come home and then go back up to Minnesota to get that done. But one way or another, let's pray that, in fact, this is the solution she needs, and continue to pray for Rachel through this process. We're praying, too, for Catherine Mabry's parents. Her mom is suffering with dementia, and it is a struggle for her dad, as you might well imagine. And so they just need direction from the Lord and evidence of his grace in that whole matter. And then Paul Panaya has asked us to pray for his sister-in-law, who has recently been diagnosed with aggressive breast cancer. So that's a long list. In addition to the list that you already have in your bulletin, I see Anne, which reminds me we need to be praying for her friend Allie, who's dealing now with her sister, who has been non-responsive in a coma for some time. Do you have? And her sister now has passed. Okay. So let's pray for the family. There are still decisions that have to be made, and we need to be praying for her. Did you say something else? And Jimmy Shaver. Jimmy's not here this morning. Okay.
Bad AFib.
Bad AFib. All right. So let's pray for Jimmy. Let's continue to ask the Lord to undertake for him. Dick is still waiting to get answers on his AFib as well. So the list goes on. We are a needy people. And if you're not sure of that, all we have to do is, A, look at the prayer list, or B, look at our lives. And we are reminded immediately that we are needy people. And I'm so glad this morning we've sung it. He loves us. It was his love that lifted us out of the miry pit, the Bible says. It is his love that has lifted us and redeemed us through the salvation that we have in Christ. And he is faithful to us every day in so many ways. And so as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning, we're again coming because he's asked us to, boldly, to claim some more of that faithfulness and some more of that goodness. So let's look to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have not left us here alone. And we recognize again how frail we are. Your word tells us that you know our frame, that you remember that we are but dust. And Lord, without your enabling, without your goodness, without your power, without your grace, we would be most miserable. And so, Lord, all of these needs that we've mentioned this morning, and there are others, Lord, you know every one of them. You know all of the details. You know all of the particulars. And so, Father, we just pray that your hand would be evident in each one of these circumstances. We pray for health and for healing. We pray for wisdom, for strength, for direction. And, Lord, most of all, we pray that in all of these circumstances that your name would be glorified. Father, it's these moments of difficulty that cause us to fall to our knees and that draw us closer to you. But while we move through these storms, they're difficult for us. You know how frustrated we become, how imperfect we are. Help us in these moments to have faith that looks to you. Lord, we pray for the services that are happening today, not only here in this building this morning, but also now down in the gymnasium as the Spanish meet for the first time. Father, we pray your blessing on all of these services. For the children who meet down the hall, for those who are teaching them, for pastor as he preaches. Lord, will you do as your word has promised that you will do, that as we exalt your name, will you draw men to yourself. I pray, Father, that if there might be someone in this room who's never put their faith and trust in Christ, that this might be the morning that they find salvation in you. I pray that if there are believers who have strayed, if there are believers who have become indifferent, or if there are believers who are just crushed with the load of life, Lord, you'd speak to those hearts, encourage us, draw us close, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be there.
you'll be there. I know I will, and I hope you do. And if you don't know that you'll be there, well, then I hope you'll come and talk to us before you leave today and let us show you from God's word how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. If you would, take your hymnals again and turn with me to page 444. Page 444, we've sung about the love that God has for us and the faithfulness that he shows to us each day. And it's because of his love that we love him. The Bible says God loved us, or because God loved us, we love him. And I hope you do love him today, and there's some in the world who don't. They love a lot of things, but they don't love the Lord, and I believe truly that one of the reasons they don't love him is because they don't really know him. You know, if you get to know the Lord, if you get in his word and you figure out who he is and what he's like and what he's done for us, then you can't help but to love him in return. And so we'll sing that this morning, I Love You, Lord, page 444. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand to your feet as we sing to the Lord one more time this morning.
I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I don't deserve your love. When I was lost, you saw my need and left your home above. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, because of Calvary.
Singing this morning. I appreciate Bob and Betty Ann yesterday helping get things ready for the Spanish church's start. We let them use our fellowship hall yesterday evening, and the Abundant Life Baptist Church in Indian Trail is the mother church of this church. Now, that church up there, Brother Gabriel Guzman put two churches together, the one he'd been pastoring and then the one he was filling in because they didn't have a pastor. He merged those two together, and then he got them to call his son, Christian Guzman, as the pastor. That's been several years. And so they've done a great job. And Brother Guzman just retired from BBN Radio after 26 years, I believe it was. And so he's starting another church. So six people or seven who are members of the church in Indian Trail live in the Rock Hill, York County area. So they are going to start with him as they form a new church. And it's a daughter church of the Church of Indian Trail. And it also will be called Abundant Life Baptist Church. It'll be of Fort Mill. And so last night they had their organizational service, and Bob has had a big key part in all this. And him and Betty Ann have helped a lot with getting this thing going, and we thank them so much. And they had a meal here last night, and they had 75 people in our fellowship hall. They had a great meal, and they invited Joy and I to come, and they had me come up and welcome the people and lead in prayer. And of course, Brother Bob had to interpret for me. So that's I'm always nervous as a cat, you know, around rocking chairs or something when I have to speak with a translator. And but I remember one of the ladies, I believe it was Lydia, said told Bob, said, "You translate very well. You're just word perfect on that translation." And so I'm glad, because I wouldn't have known the difference, you know. And then Christian Guzman preached for an hour from 1 Corinthians 13. And I caught him talking about they get a big head, Cavessa.
And he did his hands like this, and Bob said, "That's talking about." I said, "I got that part." And word now and then, you know. But they installed Brother Gabriel as the pastor. They had 6 or 7 people who got membership certificates that are going to start with them. And they're meeting this morning in the gymnasium. So praise the Lord that we can be a help to them. And we praise the Lord that for every soul they lead to Christ, and for all those that become more mature in their faith to serve the Lord. We're thankful for that. But if you know of people who are Hispanic and they speak good English, invite them to our church. But if they don't speak good English, tell them we have a Spanish service down at the gym that they can attend. And never know how the Lord may use that. So please keep everyone in prayer. And several of our people have got issues they're going through with health. And it takes a week or two to get, you know, at least to get doctor's appointments, that kind of thing. I think Brother Darrell had put him off to the end of February to get his first cancer treatment. So he had some healing to do before they wanted to invade him with the chemo. And that's probably good. Your wife's out today. She's not here. She okay? Okay. Tell her we missed her. We started this series in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 because of the new year. We're still in January. This is last Sunday, January. Tonight we have an afterglow. Bring some food and we'll put it together. It's a good time of the year to get soups and chili and stuff like that if you make those kind of things. I think my wife's going to make oyster stew. And if it's too warm, we'll turn the air conditioning down so you can eat hot soup, you know, so feel good. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "The Christian life is a marathon race that we run. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on Him as we run the race. He's laid out the course for us. We're serving Him if we're saved. And we're walking the Christian life often through difficult ground, difficult times. And we must be careful as we do that." The Bible says to walk the Christian life circumspectly. And that basically means carefully, because there are many pitfalls. The marathon race of the Christian life is like a cross-country race. It's not a track going around and around. You're going from here to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as you go, we're to seek to make disciples among all people. So in Isaiah 9, in verse number 6, if we can keep our eyes on the Lord in this new year, it will help us to avoid many problems and overcome problems that we have to go through. And we can stay close to the Lord to gain His strength and help through what we face. The race must be run with endurance, which is patience, to continue in the will of the Lord, not get away from that and start doing our own thing. Keep our eyes on Jesus. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I ask that you'll bless the preaching and teaching of your word. I ask you to bless your people for their faithfulness in being here today. Strengthen us through the word of God that we might live for you and serve you, and that we might keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, whom we follow in the race of the Christian life. And so, Lord, help us to bring honor and glory unto you, and we'll thank you and praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember a pastor of a very large church who was at a meeting I was attending, and he was one of the preachers. And he sent his secretary word to send telegrams to all their deacons and all their staff members there were 205 deacons and a host of staff members. He said two words in the telegram they were all to get: don't quit. Don't quit doing what you know is right to do. Don't quit doing what you're doing for the church and for the Lord. He had to be away a lot. He didn't want to come home and say, so-and-so left, this one's had trouble, you know, all these problems that can happen, and it seems like it happens more when you're away. So don't quit. We recognize our Savior as our author and finisher of our faith. So we have to keep our eyes on Him and follow Him through this Christian life. It may be uphill at times. It may be through difficult terrain. Israel was going to the promised land, and the Bible says they became discouraged because of the way. The way gets us discouraged. It isn't the Lord that gets us discouraged. But if we keep our eyes on Him, He has the strength and the power to help us in our times of need. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's what we are, friends. We are soldiers of the Lord in the battle of the Christian life. And we battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we must be good soldiers to endure, to continue, and follow the Lord. We must do God's will and not our own. Now, we've said on our sign out front, what does the Bible say? And we've been looking at Isaiah 9:6 about what the Bible says about this person that would come, the Son that has been given, who would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We don't have a problem that He is wonderful. He's our Savior. He took our place under the judgment of God and suffered for our sins and then gives us the very righteousness of God for us to live within. It works through us. We live under it as the shelter of His wings. We know He's wonderful. We think about this coming year. We're still in January. This is the fifth Sunday. But pretty soon we'll forget all about it being a new year, and we'll easily resort back to comfort zones and sort of forget some of the pledges we made and resolutions and got started reading our Bible again. I'm sure we've already had some interference with that. But God made you. He knows all about you. He knows what you're going through. He loves you, and you can come to Him with your needs. He came to us, and now we'll never be alone. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is wonderful. Secondly, He's our Counselor. He gives us guidance for the journey that we're on. He's given us His Spirit to live within us, which enlightens us in the knowledge of the Word. And if we study the Word and we yield to the Holy Spirit, our very steps can be guided by the Lord. The Scripture tells us in Psalm 119 that the Word is light unto our path, and it is the lamp that we guide our steps by. He is a good counselor. He gives good advice and good directions if we'll just follow Him. Thirdly, He's the Mighty God, the Creator, the Upholder, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Deliverer. This Mighty God, Jesus, will transform our bodies one day into glorified bodies like His body. If a person is a believer and they die today, they're going to be shortly buried, but the moment they die, to be absent from their body is to be present with the Lord. And one day He's going to raise that body. And He's going to do that in a very miraculous, amazing event called the rapture. The Mighty God, Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout. You never heard the voice of the Lord audibly, but you're going to one day. You're going to hear the shout of the Lord. I think He may call us by name. It may be like Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And He came forth from the dead. And he told them, unwrap him and set him free. He's going to call us up to heaven to be with him. There's going to be a great assembly day for the believers with a shout of the Lord. Secondly, with the voice of the archangel. Now we know that Michael is a chief archangel of the angels. He will have a battle with Satan in heaven, and he'll cast him down to the earth in probably the very beginning of the tribulation period. And woe unto the earth when that day comes, for he has but a little time. Michael, a strong angel of the Lord. And then the trumpet of God is going to sound. Now the Jews understand the blowing of the trumpet was to assemble the people together. For war or for census or anything of that nature, they would blow the trumpets. We're going to hear the trumpet sound along with the voice of the Lord and the shout of the archangel of God. And Revelation speaks in chapter 8 of seven angels with seven trumpets, that each one of them will sound a trumpet and a judgment will be poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. But before that takes place in Revelation chapter 8, we're going to be called up to heaven to assemble ourselves with the Lord with the trump of God. As believers, our mighty God will change us, transform us, give us a body like His body that is eternal and everlasting, delivers us from the wrath that is to come. Fourthly, Jesus would be called the Everlasting Father. Now immediately that brings what? I understand Jesus, I understand Him being God, I understand He was involved in the creation, but how is He the Father when He's the Son? And that's difficult for me to comprehend. It's difficult for all of us. So you have to study. You have to go back to the words. What do they mean? He'll be the Everlasting Father. Well, we know everlasting means eternal. We know God is eternal. That's not a real problem for us to comprehend. It's the title Father. In the Hebrew, the word is Ab, A-W-B. And that's Father in Hebrew. In Greek, it is Pater. In Aramaic, it is Abba. These mean an intimate relationship, a place of respect. They can be translated literally as a father or figuratively as a father, meaning chief or principal one. In Jesus' case, He is the author and the finisher of our race. And as the author, He is the Father. In the New Testament, John 8:44, Satan is called the father of lies. He's the originator. He's the cause. He's the beginning. Abraham is called the father of many nations. Abraham had a son, Isaac, who made him the father of the nation of Israel. And he was married again to Keturah and had other children. But think about him being referred to as the father of many nations. Once you get past the first generation of the family, you know, he's the grandfather and the great-grandfather and all of that sort of thing. But when the Bible speaks about a man, it speaks of him as a father. He may be the great-great-grandfather, but he's still the father, you see. He's the originator. He's the beginning. When we get saved, we're born into the family of God. And the reason we're born into the family of God is because of Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He's the originator of our eternal life when we put our faith and trust in Him. So He is our everlasting Father. The Father gives life to His people. If you want to look at Malachi chapter 2, just before the book of Matthew, Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 10, Malachi writes about the people sinning against one another in their nations. And he says in chapter 2 of Malachi in verse 10, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? One God, one originator, one giver of life to all. The Father gives life. We are receivers of eternal life when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a father, he gives us wisdom. The Bible says, if we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. A father teaches his children and gives them wisdom. Many times I've heard it said by young men that they thought their father was outdated and didn't understand the times, and they didn't think he was very smart until they became an adult and had children of their own. They started thinking, my dad was pretty smart after all. I remember now all the things that he taught me that were so important. A father sets an example for his children. I love that adage about the father walking in the snow and turning around, and his little boy was trying to step in his father's steps in the snow. And our children do more of what they see us do than what we tell them to do. So setting an example is vitally important. And there is no greater example of morality and godliness than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example. He sets an example for us. He teaches us. He also disciplines us as a father. When we do wrong, he corrects us to get us back on the straight and narrow path. His word lights our way to show us how we are to walk. We are to stay on the straight and narrow path, the scripture says. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get off the right place, the right way, and follow some tinsel we've seen with our eyes or influence or desire that leads us astray. But like the prodigal who went home to his father asking for forgiveness, our God is always ready for us to come to him and seek his forgiveness and his restoration and his cleansing because of our sin. A father provides for his family. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus taught in the Sermon of the Mount how that the Gentile nations who don't know the Lord seek to be rich and leaders and over other people. But he said, let it not be so among you. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things were food and clothing and shelter. We like things. But remember this. Things will rust, bust, and collect dust. And they'll leave you broke because you bought them. But God will never wear out. And he's preparing a place in heaven for you that won't need to be repaired every time you turn around. It's going to be a place of perfection. Fathers give their children names. My name is actually James Clifford Parrish Jr. Don't repeat that to anybody. My mother called me Jimmy. She said, if I ever have a son, I want to name him Jimmy. My little mother could be so timid, and she was just my mom, you know. So she called me Jimmy. So that's what most people that know me call me. They don't say Reverend Dr. Jim Parrish or Dr. James Clifford Parrish. They say Jimmy. That's okay with me. That's what my mother called me. That's my name, you know. But it's not on my birth certificate. James Clifford Parrish is on the birth certificate. I found out just recently when we were going to renew our passports. I got out my birth certificate and I looked, and there is nowhere on that birth certificate that says Junior. It says my father's name, James Clifford Parrish. It says my name's James Clifford Parrish. People just know you're the junior, not the father, you know, but it's not actually on my birth certificate, but it's on my driver's license and it's on my passport because that's what I told them I was. And so that's more legal now than it was before. How does God name us? One of the first ways he names us is as believers. We must have faith in order to be saved. We must be believers in what God's word says about the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, who was buried, and who rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. And we must believe that with a convinced heart that this is true. Believers, in Acts 5:14, believers were added to the church. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Be an example of the believer." We are called brethren collectively. As believers, it describes our conviction of belief in the word. As brethren, it describes our company. Everyone here, regardless of ethnicity, if you know Christ as your Savior, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to live in heaven together one day. The book of Revelation says there'll be all nations, every tongue, every tribe, giving glory to God together in the future in heaven. I look forward to that day. I long for that day. And there's unity among us because of our belief that describes our company. In Acts 6:3, these believers were chosen to serve the Lord. And then those who dedicated themselves and walked with God from the early time that Jesus called together were called disciples. As disciples, it revealed their commitment. As disciples, they had to follow Jesus and take up their cross daily. They had to deny themselves in order to do that. And they were disciples. The first day of the week, the disciples assembled themselves together in Acts 9:1 and 20, verse number 7. Then in Acts 11, verse 26, the Bible said the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Christian simply means Christ-like. They were called Christ-like people because they acted the same as Jesus did. A name that we cherish to be called a Christian, for someone to say to us, "You're a Christian," because of our beliefs in the Lord, it describes our conduct. How we act, how we live, we act like the Lord. And then, last of all, as saints. Individually, we don't call ourselves saints. It describes our character as sanctified ones. When he spoke of the churches, he spoke of the saints at Corinth, the saints at Rome. He's referring to us collectively. We are the saints of God. The Roman Catholic Church has made sainthood something akin to knighthood in the old realm, that a person has to have these miracles they've done and all that to be declared a saint. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches everyone who's truly saved is a saint of the Lord because you've been made holy by God and set apart different from what you were before you were saved, and you are a saint of the Lord. These names are given to us by our Father, by the Word of God. He is everlasting Father, the eternal one. When you believe upon Jesus, you are immediately granted eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, John describes it in this way. Chapter 5 and verse 11. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we are granted eternal life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive God, you receive life. This life is called, in the Greek language, Zoe. Zoe life is God life. And for every one of us that are saved, God lives within us. We are given eternal life. And we are not unsaved. We are not as aliens to God. We are his children and granted life. This human life that we have as descendants of Adam is brief. It is, the Bible calls it a puff of smoke, a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You don't think about that till you get about my age. I'm 71 years old. I can remember being a teenager and I thought, boy, that's old. And my father died at 74. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm getting up in years. I'm getting long in the tooth. I'm getting old. I'd like to still look young. I love it when somebody tells me, well, you don't look 71. I say, what do you want? How much money you got? I got money. You know, see. Thanks for saying that. That's very nice. The reason I don't have wrinkles is because if you get fat enough, it fills out all the wrinkles. somebody asked me, said, did you get a new coat? I said, no, I've just gained so much weight after I had that surgery. I've gained all my weight back. Now I can wear my old clothes again, you know. That's sad. But I'm glad I didn't go out and spend a whole lot of money to buy new clothes. Maybe I can take a little bit of it off. Well, this human life we live is a vapor. It appears for a little time. What if you live to be 90 years of age or older? What is that compared to eternity? You got eternal life when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Christians are granted to live forever. The average life in this world today is about 78 years old. That's the average. We've got numerous people in here right now that are older than that already. You know what that means? It means you're living on grace. But if you're saved, you live on grace all the time. Too many people live for the pleasure of the moment, not thinking about the consequences of their actions. If you've said it one time, I've said it 100 times. If I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. But my actions, now I have consequences as a result. We don't consider the long-range effects of what we do. As a Christian, we must consider the long-range aspects of what we do, because we are to please the Lord with our lives, and we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness, or we're going to waste time that we didn't serve the Lord. Our greatest reward won't come until the battle is over. They don't give out medals in the middle of a war. They wait till the battles are over and then pin the medals on the soldiers. And you will be rewarded by the Lord when you go home to heaven. And part of your reward is that new body that you're going to gain. Like the nation of Israel, we sometimes get stiff-necked and rebellious and want to do what we want to do rather than checking to see what God thinks about it. We are wanderers who stray from the path of the straight and narrow, choosing our own way, which usually leads to tragedy. It's, as I explain, sometimes like that brick wall you run into. And then you wake up and say, I don't want to run into that again. We use GPS and maps to get directions. Well, our directions come from the Word of God and from following the will of God. And if we live according to that, we'll be blessed and rewarded. Christian life is referred to as a race we run. It is also referred to as a path we walk upon. In Ephesians chapter 2, we should walk in good works, verse 8 through 10 of chapter 2. We are not to walk as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching that comes along. We're to know what the Bible teaches. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, based on the Word of God. We are to walk as dear children following the Lord in love. We're to walk in the light because we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Now walk as children of light. I walked point in Vietnam several times. That's a tedious position because you're looking for the enemy, you're looking for booby traps, you're not as much concerned about your own life, because if you walk the troop you're with, whether it's a squad or a company, if you walk them into an ambush, they're not going to shoot the first couple of people because people would get call in artillery, all that. They want to wait till the body of men get in front of them so they can kill a lot more and wound a lot more. So you got a great responsibility that you have by walking in that position. And all of us are walking point. You may be walking it for a family if you're a husband and have children. You may be walking it for the influence of the neighbor's kids that live next door, or for your nieces and nephews or grandchildren. We are examples to walk the right path so that we don't lead anyone else astray. Christ is our author and originator of eternal life. And in 1 John 2:17, those that do God's will abide forever, the Scripture says. We can rejoice in who our Lord is and what our Lord has done for us. And we try to stay on that path in 2023. We'll avoid a lot of problems if we'll just do that. Father, bless your people today and meet the needs that are here. We went over a list of folks with health needs, and we lift them again to you. Our folks that are shut in and have needs, we ask you to bless them. We pray now you'll bless this invitation, that folks would make decisions for you before we leave this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.